Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you open these scriptures to us. Make the Word of God plain to us. Help us to understand what Jesus is saying to His disciples. And Lord, we are His disciples. Encourage us today. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you're listening to this program today, tomorrow I'll be departing for Haiti. And you know that I've mentioned Haiti a lot on this program. That's one of the things that I've been doing now. Actually, this trip will make 15 years exactly. The first time that I went to Haiti was 1993. And that first trip, and the trip after, which was just a couple of months after, in January of 94, mainly I spent my time in and around Port-au-Prince. I preached with two or three different pastors there, and in fact I was even able to preach on the radio a little bit when I was there. But mainly I spent my time close to Port-au-Prince. I went out of town a little bit, just a few miles out, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, 20 miles out of town. We went in the mountains and I preached in a church. There was actually a conference going on, and I was invited to do so by Pastor Samuel Aurelius. And I preached in his church the last time that I was in Haiti, which is two or three years ago. I've forgotten exactly how long it's been now. The last few times I've gone, it's mainly been in the southern tip of Haiti, on the southwestern tip of Haiti. I go with the pastor here that's in Harvey. His church is on La Palco, and that's Brother Gabriel Wilsonow. And he's been very kind to me and opened his pulpit a number of times. And I've gone to preach in the two mission churches he has, again, on the southern tip of Haiti. But this time, I would like to spend more time in Port-au-Prince. I only have a limited amount of time, and I think I'll go for a few days with Brother Gabriel to one of his churches. But I'd like to spend more time in Port-au-Prince. I've met people some years ago, like I said, 15 years ago. I want to make sure that those relationships are stable or what have you. I want to make sure that they don't forget me. And of course, Brother Samuel hasn't forgotten me, but there are other pastors that I preach with that they may have forgotten me. As a matter of fact, I think one of the men, Pastor Simon, has died already. But I'll ask that you pray for me, that he would help me. And also for the churches and the people in those churches, that you would pray that God would open their hearts. And again, if you've been blessed listening to this program, then the same thing that I preach here is the same thing I'm going to preach down there. The same types of sermons. I may recycle something that you've heard. But if you sense the Spirit of God when I preach, and if He opens the Word of God to you, then that's exactly the way that things will happen when I'm in Haiti. I have another request as well. I guess it's been about 25 years ago. This was right before I got saved, that I injured my left knee. I was actually supposed to go into the Navy, and I was on delayed entry, and I said, well, if I have to go to boot camp, I need to make sure that I'm in shape. And I overdid it. I did too many squats. I ran too many miles at one point, and I wasn't ready for it. I didn't build up for it, but I hurt my knee. and I was on crutches for a week. I was eating pills. As a matter of fact, I think they gave ibuprofen at that time, which was before anybody had ever heard of it. And it got a little bit better, but it never really healed up. And when I got to the recruitment center, or the induction center here in New Orleans, should I say, they disqualified me because the knee never wanted to heal. A few months after that is when I got saved. And then I guess about 6 months or so after that, the Lord healed me. And my knee at that point, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. It, normally I can walk, I can just leave out of my apartment, start walking, and I can walk 2 or 3 miles with no problem. And that's something that needs to be able to happen when I'm in Haiti, because we have some transportation, but a lot of it is walking. When we go to Montagnac, we generally have to walk up the hill. It's about 45 minutes. And it's possible to get a truck there, but we generally don't have that kind of truck. But in order to get to La Gombrie, which is on the other side of the mountain, it's about a 45 or 50 minute hard walk. And there's no way to do any transportation. You have to walk, and it's cliffs and steep steps and stuff like that. My left knee is doing fine. I'm very thankful for that. But the last couple of weeks, my right knee feels the exact same way to me that my left one did when I hurt it 25 years ago. And I'm asking for prayer. And I don't understand why it's the right knee. I don't understand. I don't remember hurting it. But it does hurt, and I feel things moving around in there that shouldn't move around. And it's essential that I be able to walk. If I'm not able to walk, I'm not going to be able to go up the hill. And it will limit me. And this is what I'm going for. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to go where most people don't want to go. And I do so gladly and joyfully, but I need to be able to walk. I need to be able to climb the mountains and what have you. One of the other places that I've been to Honduras, the first place I went, and I've also been to Mexico. And I went with a few people here in New Orleans. If you're listening, Brother Paul, you know exactly what I'm referring to. But I went to Mexico one time, and we took a van. We went down to McAllen, Texas, or exactly, I forget what town. And we stayed the night, and we had gotten up that next morning, and we were going to cross into Mexico and then drive on down to Tampico. Well, we got up, showers, what have you, and we went off to, I think it was Ryan's, we went to have some breakfast. And we came back, and it was about 10 o'clock in the morning or something, and we packed the van, and then we checked out of the hotel rooms and got in the van. We were going to drive on down to the border, which is just a few miles. But climbing into the van, I injured myself. As a matter of fact, it was a pretty bad injury. And I won't go into detail exactly what it was, but I was in pain. And I couldn't walk, and I couldn't sit up. I was hurting very badly. And it looked like I was going to have to go to the hospital. And honestly, we're on the border of Mexico. We're going to go for a week or whatever. We've got our plans set. And here I am, hurt, and it looks like I'm going to have to go to the doctor and probably the hospital. It would have completely destroyed our plans. But Brother Paul and the other people took me and carried me back into the room that they hadn't locked it up yet, laid me down on the bed and began to pray. And in 5 minutes, the Lord strengthened me. The Lord helped me, and I was able to get up and walk. And I still hurt for a little while, like a few hours, but it went away. By the time we got down to Tampico, I was perfectly fine. And you say coincidence. Well, you can say that if you wish, but I've been in the ministry far too long. I know that when you try to do something for the Lord, and it's really of Him, sometimes, and too often, many times, Satan will try to hinder you. The Bible says, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that injury wasn't persecution, but the idea is, and certainly you can read through the book of Acts, and you can see the opposition that Satan put in the way of those trying to do the work of God. And I told the story about Mexico to say that I believe the Lord can heal my knee, my right knee. It's imperative that I be able to walk, because that's in some places that's all we can do. There really isn't any transportation available in some of the places that we go in Haiti. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. I've asked you to pray for the people that are listening. I've asked you to pray on other programs that God would give me something to say. I'm asking you this time. I need prayer. The Lord must do something to help me. I don't want to just go down there and sit in the hotel room for 2 weeks in Port-au-Prince. I want to do the work of God. And I'm asking that you please believe with me. But let's go ahead and get into the Word of God. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, if you were listening last week, I went over these few verses. And I'd like to go over them again and perhaps give a little bit more detail. Perhaps a little bit more explanation. He is talking about the end times. He's talking about the fact that he, Jesus, will return. And if you listen last time, I basically gave an appeal to those that are not Christians, that are not sure of their faith, and warned them that Christ is returning and that they should be ready. But these three chapters here, where John records Jesus, and Jesus is teaching about the Holy Spirit, we see that Jesus is not talking to sinners. He is addressing his disciples. Certainly a sinner can read this, and certainly you can take this passage, as I have done, and address people that are not saved. But his topic and his audience is his return, but he's speaking to his church, those that are waiting for his return. And he talks about his house, in the Father's house, in my Father's house. I'm glad to say that we get to go to be with the Father, that we have a place prepared for us in heaven. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." But again, he's speaking to those that believe. He's speaking to those that have fought the good fight of faith. He's speaking to those that have endured the various things that we suffer. Now, we have it pretty easy in this country. Now, you know, I can tell you stories of Haiti when they have a dictator in power, which, you know, every other week they have a new dictator. But those people who suffered, I remember when I was there during the embargo, and this is right before we invaded, when Clinton sent troops, there was gunfire every night. Now, we have gunfire here every night sometimes in certain parts of town, but it was government thugs, henchmen, what have you, that they were intimidating anyone that had a voice, anyone that dared say anything against the government, anyone that dared say, "Hey, you know, that we believe the United States can help with something." And oftentimes many preachers, they didn't have to necessarily say anything about the government, but if they believed the Word of God and preached it, many times it made the local secret police or whatever nervous, and they were intimidated. I'm speaking to one. I remember one conversation. The man was woken up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they stuck a gun in his face and said, you need to be careful what you're preaching. We don't like it." But God cares for his own. We know that God loves us. We know that Jesus loves us. He says in one point that he calls us friends, not servants, but friends. And he is saying in this passage that he's prepared a place for us. And this should comfort us. This If we've suffered anything, if we've turned to God and began to tell people, hey, you know, I became a Christian, and our friends turn away from us, or our family doesn't want to have anything to do with us, or what have you, or perhaps we lose our job because of our decision to work for God. This is persecution. Now, we don't have people knocking on our door at 3 in the morning, but many times, probably everyone that's listening that is a Christian can testify that they've had some sort of negative reaction to the fact that they've walked for God. But God sees every sparrow that falls. God counts every hair on your head. He knows you. He knows what you've suffered. He knows the things that you've suffered in His name. And one day He's coming back for you and for me. This theme is found many other places in the Bible. For instance, Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which were asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And look at this last verse. Verse 18. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit, yet yes, we believe in the cross, we believe in the gospel message, we believe that God cares for us, we believe many things about the gospel, we believe many things about the Word of God and the things of God, and certainly the Holy Spirit helps us in all of these things. But there's something else, there's the second coming of Christ. Again, it's a terror for those that don't believe. He says here in the very next verse, in chapter 5, "But at the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you. For you know yourselves perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For they which shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The second coming is bad news to those that don't know God. The second coming is bad news to the pornographer. It's bad news to a lot of people that don't follow God. But to the Christian, it's comfort. To the Christian, it's a wonderful thing. We've been toiling here, perhaps, laboring in his fields, trying to win the lost. We've suffered indignities. We put up with a lot of things that the world has made us endure because we say that we're Christians. Now, I'm a preacher, and I could tell you some stories. But you don't have to be a preacher to suffer for the Lord. Like I said, if you turn to God, and then your family says, well, you know, we really wish you'd shut up. And your friends, you say, hey, you know, I got saved, and no, I don't want to do those drugs anymore. They're going to say, well, you know, we don't want to see you anymore. We want to hang around people that are excited about sin. Every Christian, again, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the knowledge that Christ is coming again is a comfort. And the Holy Spirit, when this is preached, comforts the hearts. And I am glad that He's coming back for me. But here in verse 2 and 3, he says, "I'm going away. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," he says, "I'll come again." But in verse 4 he says, "And whither I go, or where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I'm going away," and Thomas, probably echoing what the disciples thought, he says, "Where are you going?" And, you know, you say that we know the way. If we don't know where you're going, how are we going to know how you're going to get there? But he was referring to the fact that he had to die. Yes, he said he was going to heaven, but he had to go the way of the cross. He was talking about the second coming, mainly, but also implying that he had to finish his mission from the first coming. Jesus was born to die. Now, Jesus was a good man. He had many good things to say. He was a great leader. He performed many wonderful miracles. He preached great sermons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead, cast out devils, etc. But his mission to save souls entailed dying. He was born to die. He willingly laid down his life for the sinner. And if you've heard me talk about this, but he's saying again that if you want to get to heaven, you need to go the way of the cross. He says, "I'm going. I'm preparing a place for you. I'll come again to get you. But there's a certain way that we have to go in order to get the rewards." How many times do you remember in the Gospels that Jesus said that you had to take up your cross and follow him? Now, we've said many times in this program, the cross is an instrument of death and cruelty. The Romans used it as a method of execution. And he says that we must take up our cross and follow him to death. And this is not a popular message. It's one thing for Christ to die. There's no skin off our back. But really, it is skin off our back. And that phrase does refer to Christ when he was beaten. It's not just his sufferings. Now, our sufferings are necessary. If we suffer for the faith, again, if our friends don't want to have anything to do with this, that's perhaps a big thing to some people. But it's not what Paul suffered. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, what have you. It's not like the pastor I know in Haiti, back during the time of the dictator, that was threatened with a gun and said, you need to let up on your preaching. We can look at Stephen. He was a great martyr for the faith. He gave his life testifying of the Lord. Many will never see that kind of persecution. And in some countries, it's common, but here we don't see that. But still, he's saying that we need to die. Paul said, "I die daily," and we've made reference to this scripture, Romans chapter 12. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And if we're not quite sure what that means, verse 2 gives us more understanding, and he says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We know that Christ was a sacrifice. He says that we should take up our cross and follow him. Paul says that we should do exactly that, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Christ died and it was over. But we should die to self, to sin, to pride, to ambition, to our desires. We need to live a life dead to sin. We need to live a life to mortify the deeds of the flesh, he said. Our desires, God may have us to do something that we don't want to do. God may have us to speak to somebody that we don't want to speak to. God may have us to love someone that we don't really feel like having anything to do with. But just as Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. So he's talking about death to self. He's talking about forsaking self. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know, and that way is to take our cross and follow Jesus. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.